2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will, we will start there in verse 1 in 2 Timothy chapter 2, okay? Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Underline that. Faithful men. Who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, writing to the young preacher there, Timothy. Excuse me, that's another thing we won't have out there, the same things that bother my sinuses here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, he's speaking to the young preacher there, Timothy, and he's telling him, now you've gotten into this. You've gotten into this. Somebody's called you. His name's Jesus. He's called you. Now you're going to have to endure some things. You're going to have to endure some hardness as a good soldier, because that one that called you, he expects that. Just like a person that owns a place and you're working for them, the husbandman, he expects you to work hard for the money he pays you. And so he's saying, you're in this. Why don't you do it like you love him? Why don't you do it like you love him? In 1774, September the 5th, the First Continental Congress met up, and they were fed up. In March 23rd, 1775, Patrick Henry said, I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. He was sold out. Somebody had called him which was greater than the King of England. He had a greater cause than serving some monarch. He was now serving the God of the Creator of the universe. And he declared the freedom that only God can give. There's a lot of things going to be said today concerning love for our country. And I'm of that crowd that's willing to say it. Amen. I'm willing to say it. Sad, but it's true. There's many that's cussing our country. And they're accusing us of everything that's wrong in the world today. And that we've stolen and we've robbed and we've oppressed. Sad but true. That's being said all over our country today. People are claiming that. They're carrying signs saying that. That white men came here to destroy the Indian. That's a lie right out of hell. You don't know anything about history. Read history. You'll find out better than that. They were friends at first. Others will say, well, they came here to enslave the black men. That's also a lie. Those people didn't come till later. The king sent them to possess land and grow on it so he could get the money out of it. The people that fled here for freedom from religious oppression didn't own slaves. Lots being said today against our country. But today, I don't believe I'm speaking to that crowd. I don't think that I'm of that, or you are of that crowd. They're at some LGBT rally, or some illegal alien rally, or some atheist rally. Today, I know I think I'm speaking in some way to people who at least have a sort of Christian faith. I don't know what level everybody's on, but I know people that go to church are not of the other crowd. People here today is not that crowd. You may not be settled in your faith. You may not have the faith you ought to have. You may not be grounded like you ought to be grounded. But today you came to church. You didn't go to that crowd. So today I think I'm speaking to the right crowd. Amen. At least you express some kind of faith in the God of our forefathers. By the way, don't let them throw all that history away. Don't let them tear down all those statues and all those signs. Some of those were great men. Some of them were great men of faith. You need to read history books and quit listening to these little panty-waist professors out of these liberal universities. That ain't my text. I just thought I'd throw that in there. And John, by the way, it takes a man to be a Christian. Any little old weirdo or wimp can be an atheist. You don't have to stand up for anything. Amen? It takes a woman to stand up for God. Amen? And in John chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous." The children of God don't have a problem with God's laws. We don't have a problem with that.
Amen.
I'm glad they're there. That's what keeps humanity human, is the law of God. Without the commandments, we would be another heathen nation, devouring one another, killing one another. Without the law, all of the laws of our land used to be, and still to the majority, are based on the Word of God, the laws of God. There's no other book in the world like the Bible that has the laws that God sent through Moses. Not one. In our text, Jesus is talking to a similar crowd, kind of like you, those who profess Him. And he goes on, he tells them, if you read the whole passage, that love is more than words. It's more than words. It's easy to say, "I love you," but it sure is hard to live, "I love you." People say, "Well, I love my children enough I die for them." But do you love them enough to live for them? That's the question. You're going to die anyway. Well, what about what you're doing while you're living? Amen?
Come on.
And Jesus said love is more than just words, a lot of actions. Love for companion, love for company. He even goes about the servant serving the master. I remember when people used to love their jobs. You can talk bad about the old Mill Hill people if you wanted to, but those people had jobs and they went to work every day and they took pride in their work. And the mills, a lot of people look at those mills as oppression. They were not oppression. They gave them a place to live. They gave them a store to buy groceries. You could go to Spring Maid Beach. Spring Maid Mountain. Amen? Springs' Park. They had stuff for people to do. And these people who the rest of the world looked down on as ignorant, unlearned, they went to work every day. And they were proud to work for J.P. Stevens. They were proud to work for Lowenstein. They were proud to work for Spring. They had a job. They might have been uneducated. They might have not been professor style, but they could go to work every day. And they had insurance. And they had vacation time. And look, they had a standing in the community. They didn't ask anybody for anything. They'd refuse it if you offered it. It might have been sinful pride, but at least they had some pride. Amen? And Jesus said, if you love your wife or your husband, you'll treat them right. If you love your company, you'll treat it right. And also he says, if you love God, you'll treat Him right. And I want to add on there, if you love your country, you'll treat it right. Don't come to me complaining and griping about this country and you don't even vote, or you vote for some guy that wears a dress, he's got lipstick on, high heels, and he's 6'4" and weighs 300 pounds. It's like voting for a pig with lipstick on. Don't tell me you love your country and you won't vote. Don't tell me you love your country and you won't pay taxes. Don't tell me that. Amen? Don't tell me you love your country and you won't obey the laws. By the way, I got an easy answer for immigration. If you find them illegal, take them home. Don't split them. Don't store them. Just take them over at the border and say, here's where you come from. Get out. Amen. Go over there to that office. You can sign up to get in legal. Amen. That ain't in my sermon. I thought I'd just throw that in there for a little extra. My mother's grandmother and grandfather came from Ireland, legally. They were looked down on. Scotch-Irish people were looked down on, uneducated, ignorant people. But they went to work. Bless the Lord. And they grew farms and they took care of their families. Amen. They never asked anybody to take care of them. So don't get upset when I get mad at you over stuff like that. Amen. Now you listen to me. There's an old song. Most of you know it because you're old. And the man says, when a man loves a woman. Y'all remember that? You ladies liked that, didn't you? That thrilled you when you heard that song, didn't you? You look at your boyfriend and say, listen. Old Mercy Percy. Said he'd lose all his friends. He'd sleep out in the rain. He'd give up everything if he loved that woman. Well, hey, I want to say, if a man loves his country, he'll give up everything. Hey, if a man loves his wife, his children, he'll give up everything. Or vice versa, a woman. Well, I'll go a little bit farther than that. If a man loves Jesus, or a woman loves Jesus, they'll lose it all for him. Amen? Because the day you got saved, you died. You were resurrected, a new creature in Christ Jesus. All the old things pass away, and all things become new. You lost every friend you had if you really got born again. I did. Lost all but one. Every one of them. Hey, you lost, may have lost a job over it. I lost several over it. May have lost some raises or relationships, whatever. But Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments and they're not grievous. July 4, 1776, they signed the Declaration of Independence and it was adopted by Congress. Most every man that signed it was a wealthy man. Most every man that signed it had a lot of family. By the time that war was over, most of those men were broke, if not dead. And most of their families were divided, if not destroyed. But they love something greater than themselves. Are you still with me?
Yes, sir.
And the day you got saved, you were supposed to fall in love with something greater than you.
Amen.
We could sing that song about our country. We could sing it about our friends. We could sing it about our job. We could sing it about just about everything. But we ought to sing it about Jesus. Love for Jesus produces faithfulness. John 14:15, he said, if you love me, you will. You will keep my command. Not you may, or if you want to, or it's possible, but he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And guess what? It won't hurt your feelings. It won't be grievous. You'll enjoy doing it. The happiest time in a Christian's life is when they obey the Lord. The most unhappy time in my Christian life is when I'm walking in disobedience. The Holy Spirit convicts me. My spirit convicts me. My mind convicts me. My wife convicts me. My children convict me. My church convicts me. But when I'm walking in the perfect will of God and obeying His commandments, I am 100% satisfied with my life. Doesn't mean I got money. Doesn't mean I got a new house, new car. Doesn't mean I got a lot of friends. But it means that me and the Savior are one.
Amen.
And that's what makes a Christian happy. When we walk with Him, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, that says this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk, even as He walked. I talked about this the other night. Your walk is your way of life. That's what it means. Where do you go every day? What do you do every day? What's your lifestyle? That's your walk. Y'all still with me?
Amen.
Now, He said that if we love Him, it'll produce faithfulness in our walk. When we walk in His love, when we walk in His light, when we walk learning about Him and not so much worrying about pleasing us, we're happy. You find me a Christian that's been saved, really saved, baptized, joined the church, got into the will of God, and then gets out of church and gets out of the will of God, and I'll show you a miserable human being. Of course, they're going to blame it on you. They're going to blame it on the pastor. You know, that pastor didn't preach so long, or if he'd get more educated, you know, if he was better looking or something, you know, they're going to find something. Brother Ron didn't shake my hand last Sunday. He must be mad at me. They're going to find something. Amen. Because they're miserable. But you find somebody, just like it says there in verse 2, if you're walking in him as he walked. I never saw where Jesus got mad at anything but sin.
Amen.
And I know the world paints a picture of some kind of effeminate, long-haired, hippie-looking thing. He was not. He was a man of men.
That's right.
And one day he went to the temple and he looked around that temple and he got mad. And he sat down and he took time to plait a whip. Had to be out of, where did he get the leather strap? Somewhere he got leather strap. And he sat there, and it takes a long time to plait. I used to have to do it in the mill. And boy, he plaited him big old long plait, and then he stood up, and he charged. He went through that crowd, started turning over tables, screaming, hollering, whipping them. He was whipping them, buddy. And that sure don't look like the pictures of him, does it? And he whipped them and run them out of there. He said, get out of here. You've made my father's house a den of thieves. And it's supposed to be a house of prayer.
That's right. Amen.
Boy, I wonder what he would do if he come in the average church today. I think during the offering, he'd plait him a whip. Amen. Yeah. By the time service over, there wouldn't be but one or two left. But loving for him, loving him will make you faithful. Make you faithful in your witnessing. Boy, turn over to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. When was the last time you heard this read to you? Acts chapter 1, if you will. Look at verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, when you love him, you'll be a witness. Amen. When you love him, you'll get filled with the Spirit of God and the power of God and the presence of God. And you'll go, hey, everywhere you go, home and abroad, you will be a witness for Jesus Christ if you love him right. You say, well, preacher, I'm not much of a witness. Well, maybe you love yourself more than you love him because you're ashamed that if you try to witness, somebody will make fun of you. Or they'll embarrass you. Well, that's sinful pride. You need to get rid of that and say, Holy Spirit, help me to be a witness. I don't care if I lose every friend I've got. I don't care if my family bars me from the family reunion. I don't care if they run me off from the first dead church of the Nazarene down there in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Or the first dead Baptist church down there in Rock Hill. I don't care what they do. I'm going to be a witness because I love you. And how could I not talk about the wonderful grace of Jesus. Amen? He'll make you a witness. Now, sad to say, that doesn't happen much anymore. But just like this week, there's going to be a lot of witnesses for our country. There's going to be a lot of people preaching the greatness of our country. And I'm not against that. There's going to be a lot of festivities about the greatness of our country. But the church is going to be silent about the great grace of God all week long. Somebody needs to stand up and be recognized and say, look, let me tell you about somebody I love. Let me tell you about somebody that saved this old wretched sinner. Let me tell you about somebody that saved my family. Let me tell you about my hero. I like George Washington. I like Benjamin Franklin. But let me tell you about the greatest man that ever walked planet Earth. Jesus Christ. If you love him right, you'll be faithful in your witness. Not only that, but he says, and I'm not going to read it for the sake of time, but in chapter 14 there of John, in verse 23, he says, you'll be faithful in your fellowship. We'll fellowship one with another. Did you know every day you need to fellowship with Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Now, going to church is important. Don't get me wrong. It is very important. It's really a command. He said, forsake not the assembling ourselves together. That's a command. Forsake not. You ought to go to church. If you don't go to church, you're not right or you're sick or something. You know, there's something wrong if you don't go to church. But there's something greater than that, and that's your daily fellowship with Christ all alone.
Amen.
All alone. You shouldn't have to have somebody to lead you in a prayer when you're talking to the Lord. You'll just talk to the Lord. He's your friend.
Amen.
You shouldn't have to have somebody standing there all day telling you what to do and what not to do. You'll love Jesus and try to obey Him, and you'll do what's right every day. Every day. Not just Sunday, every day. And then, if you love Him, you know what else happened? There in 2 Timothy, he said, Timothy, you're in a war. It'll make you faithful in the warfare. Now, I've seen a lot of people. I've seen a lot of people make professions of faith, and it's so wonderful. Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah! I feel so good. I cried all day. I just love everybody. And 2 weeks later, they find out it ain't easy as it was that day at church. And the old devil recognized them. That's why most of you keep your mouth shut. You're afraid the devil will know you're there and he'll attack you. Yeah, yeah. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. You got it? Hey, you joined the army the day you accepted Christ. Like it or not, you're in the Lord's army. Amen? I'm going to sing that song I used to do in children's church. I may never march into infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir! And hey, you did that day. You got saved. You joined the army. You might not know it, but you did it. And now you wake up a week later and you realize there's a lot of people don't like you anymore. And a week later you wake up and you realize you don't fit in where you used to fit in. You're wearing a different uniform. People look at you and say, what's changed about you? There's something different about you. They did that to me. I said, I don't know. I don't know. I went down there to that church and I asked the Lord to save me. And I don't know how to explain it. This is how I came out. Come on down to church. That preacher preaches it every Sunday. He'll tell you how to get it. And that's witnessing right there. Amen?
Yes, it is.
But you'll be faithful in your living. You'll be faithful in your witnessing. And did you know that love for Jesus Christ produces a lot of joy? In verse 28, he said, your joy will be full. And I'm 64 years old. I look at my daughters. I'm not going to tell you how they are, but sometimes I think they're catching up with me. I'm getting pretty old. You're getting pretty old when your kids start. You say, whoa, that's my kid? You go to the doctor and then you look at that boy. You say, boy, are you still in high school? You look at the cop and you say, are you old enough to do this? I went to the bank the other day and a little old girl barely could see over the counter. And she's looking up there and I said, what are you, about 12 years old? All them women are laughing. But I found this out. Let me tell you something. I'm never happier. I never have more joy than when I'm walking in love with Him.
Amen.
When a man loves a woman. Well, I remember when I first met my wife. Blind date. She was blind. I was a date. I can tell you what I was wearing. I can tell you what I think she was wearing. The way I remember it. She'll probably correct me, so I'm not going to tell you all that. But I remember I had on those white blue jeans with the real tight ankles on them, you know. Barefooted. Everywhere we went, we were barefooted back then. Teenagers, we didn't wear shoes. I look at these kids now, 12 years old, and they hurt my feet. I said, hurt your feet? The bottom of my feet was made out of leather when I was 12 years old. Amen. But I remember I'm standing there in Tommy McGuire's, I guess you call it their den. There's a couch right here and chairs, and there's a hallway over there. And I'm standing there, and Junior Tant took me. Him and his girlfriend wanted me. He needed a ride is what it was. He didn't have a ride. So he got me to go. And I'm standing there, and Terry comes down that hall over, and she walks out, and she's got these big, long pigtails, braided hair, not pigtails, braided hair like an Indian chief, you know. And it's parted there. And Ronnie, this is Terry. I said, fell in love. Later on, went to work at the Rock Hill Printing and Finishing. I lived in Lancaster. And I come over there to see her one day, and my boss man lived right next door to her. I didn't know that was all going to happen that way. And one night after a couple of weeks, my boss man's talking to all these old men there at the bleacher, you know, a bunch of old men. You had to die. Nobody retired or quit the bleacher. You had to die. And here I am, 18, working with all these old men. You know, they're going to try to make a devil's disciple out of me is what they're trying to do. And so we're standing around that smoker, and C.W. Rayner was his name. He said, "Fellas, this boy's in love." He said, "That girl's mama can't throw out the dishwater without hitting him in the face." He's over there every day. He's there. He lives in Lancaster, and he's over there next door to me every day. But it gave me joy. The day I got saved, I fell in love with somebody else like I never knew I could love. Boy, that Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And a fella at work a couple of weeks later, one of them dirty old men was telling a dirty old joke, and I didn't laugh. I didn't feel no better than him. I just didn't think it was funny no more. And he looked at me and said, "Boy, what's wrong with you? Something's changed about you." He said, "I ain't heard you cuss in 2 weeks." He said, "There's just something. What's happened?" I said, "I can't explain it," but I started going to church down here at Eastside Baptist Church, and I asked the Lord to save me. And I can't explain it, and I started crying. I said, "But if you'll come down there, that preacher, he preaches it every time." He said, "Boy, don't you start preaching to me." And after that, they started calling me preacher. But I got a new joy. I got new love. I experienced a love like I had never known, and it gave me joy. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for this Christian crowd that runs right here with their long face and that snarl on their face, and they're mad all the time, and they're wearing a chip right there and just wanting somebody to knock it off so they can get mad and holler at somebody. There ain't no joy in that. Boy, I used to see those kind of people that claim to be Christians. I said, "Boy, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. I feel a lot better over here than they feel over there." Amen? Amen. I don't think they had it. Now I look back on it, I don't think they had it. And look, if you try to fake it, you're going to be miserable. A lot of people get married, they're faking it when they get married. 2 or 3 years later, they're divorced because they didn't mean it to start with, and it gave them no joy at all, so they quit it. And somebody tells me, "Said, well, I used to be a Christian, but I doubt you ever had it in the first place." I've been a lot of places, done a lot of things. A lot of them I wouldn't even talk about. But I've never found anything besides my wife and my children that give me great joy. Brother Billy, great joy. Ain't nothing like being at home and all your children are there, and your grandchildren are there, and everybody's talking. And I can't talk because most of them's females. And they're just and then I think, "Oh man, it sounds so good to have all these people I love around here." There ain't nothing like knowing Jesus, going to church, and the preacher preaches a good old-fashioned barn storming, window rattling, shingle pulling sermon, you know, and the choir sings down heaven, and somebody testifies, and somebody prays a beautiful prayer, you know, and the glory of God shows up, and you say, "Man, this is good. I ain't never found this over at Club 9. I couldn't find this down at the Dewdrop Inn, you know. They don't produce this in a bottle or a can. You can't roll it up in a piece of paper and smoke it. You can't snort it, you can't shoot it. It don't come in a pill. It's better than anything I've ever had is the love of Jesus." Amen. Love for your nation will make you vote. Love for your nation will make you go to war. Love for Jesus Christ will make you go to war too. Amen. Gives you joy. Gives you peace. He gives you promises. But on top of all that, He gives you His presence. Now you listen to me. I thank God for where I live. Me and my wife pray every day. God, thank you for letting us be born in this part of the country. I've been around. People come here to find peace. People move here to find beauty. And I got to be born in it. I'm so proud of it, Brother Rick. I got a South Carolina flag on the shirt, and right there it says Native. People say, I'm a Native American. I say, I am too. I'm born here. I'm born here. Amen. I wasn't born in Ireland. I was born right here. Hey, I love it. And I've been in other parts of the country that don't have peace. I'd hate to live around Detroit. I've seen that stuff. I'd hate to live around Chicago and places like that where it's war every day. I thank God for where He put me. But let me tell you something. There's still a spiritual warfare going on right here. I'll go to a place in this country. They'll say, where are you from? I say, South Carolina. They'll say, well, I bet that y'all's churches are all wonderful down there. I said, no, there's a war going on down there. To kill it the way the devil's killed the rest of the country. Well, yeah, but all you Baptists, I said, everything that says it's a Baptist is not a Baptist.
Right.
Amen? But I'll tell you one thing. If you'll walk with Him and love Him like you ought to, you'll have peace when the war is raging. Some of you are in a war right now. Your families. Things going on right now. That's the enemy attacking you. I said this morning, and I'm so proud of seeing Bonnie. Bonnie, you still here? There she is. So proud. There's Lindsay. I said, look, there's a lot of people in our church who are going through a battle with sickness and near-death experiences. I said, don't let that drive you away from Christ. Let it drive you closer to Christ. That's what it's meant to do anyway. Wives and husbands and children and fighting and fussing. Don't let it drive you away from Christ. Let it drive you to Christ. Get closer to Him. You're in His army. Put on His armor and He'll protect you and He'll fix that thing. You'll win that battle.
Amen.
But if you run away from Him to somewhere else, some other general, some psychiatrist, some pill, some bottle, they're not your general. They're not your commander. Jesus is. He'll help you. They won't.
Right.
I got to hurry. But it produces joy. Look at John 14:28. That's the last verse. John, not 1 John. John 14. Look at verse 28. I got to get back over there. In John 14:28. Still with me? Amen. You ain't mad at me, are you? Wouldn't matter if you were. John 14, look at verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice. Because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Now I've told you before it come to pass that when it's come to pass, you might believe. You know what he's saying? I'm leaving, but I love you enough, I'm coming back to get you. I'm not going to stay gone. I'm coming back to get you. Look, Jesus did not forsake us when He ascended up to heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father and He's interceding for us because He loves us. He didn't say, okay, you're saved, now go out there and do whatever you got to do. No, He said, you're saved, I'm leaving, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit to help you. And not only that, I'm coming back again to set up my kingdom, and there, your joy will be full there.
Amen.
Now, no battle's easy, no war's easily won, and it always involves blood, sweat, and tears. But let me tell you something, we've already got the victory, we just need to claim what we've got. 1 John 5:4, the second part of that verse says, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Yes.
You know, a lot of Christians are defeated when all you've got to do is claim the victory that's already yours.
You see, you gave up on that marriage. You didn't have to give up on that. God would have given you the victory. The victory's there. You just didn't draw nigh to God, so He'd draw nigh to you.
Amen.
A lot of you got sickness. You've already got the victory. God's already promised you victory. You're living proof of it. You're a dead man laying on there when they had their heart in your hand, but you're alive and well. Amen? Amen. Bonnie's husband was a dead man. And now, look, he's already got the victory. We just need to claim the victory that He's already given us.
Amen.
Our nation's big on this thing about addictions now. Did you know there's no weapon formed against us that can harm us? Did you know that if you put yourself under something, it can defeat you, but you have to put yourself under it. It can't defeat you. You have to let it defeat you.
Right.
You have to let it. I tell people with addictions program, all you need is that one-step program. Turn to Jesus. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, for my burden's light. He said, I'll take your burden and I'll give you mine. Mine's easy and it's light. And all you've got to do is receive it. John 1:12 says, for as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name.
Thank you, Lord.
There are historically ignorant people walking around this week. They are historically ignorant. They're carrying signs saying that they're oppressed. And that they are in slavery, and that they're being abused by our country and people that believe like you and I, and they've made themselves victims when they're living in a free country. They don't have to be like that. Rise above it if you're an American. You can find a job. You can work anywhere you want to. You can be an American citizen like us if you just go through the legal system and get it. But no, they want to be victims. Look at poor little old me. Don't nobody love me. I think I'll eat dirt. I'm just pitiful, pitiful, pitiful. Y'all need to pass a law that people will love me. Y'all need to pass a new law that people will accept me. Shut up and accept the freedom you've already got. Nobody in this room's any different than you. We already have it. You just have to accept what you have. The same way in the Christian faith. Well, poor little old me. My church don't love me. Find one that does. Poor little old me. My Christian friends have forsaken me. Find you some real Christian friends. Poor little me, I got these addictions. Quit! You've already got the victory. Claim the victory. God, you said that I had the victory. I'm claiming the victory. If I die and go to hell, it'll be trusting Jesus Christ and nothing else. If I become a drug addict, it'll be trusting Jesus Christ and nothing else. If I'm a drunk, it'll be trusting Jesus Christ and nothing else. If my family leaves me, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ and nothing else. And you'll have the victory. What it is you waiting somebody to do the work for you. And you like being pitied. And you like people feeling sorry for you. And I feel sorry for you. I do. I've been there. But I'm going to tell you this. We live in the greatest country on God's green earth. And you can be anything you can.
Yes.
The head of the housing and urban development is a black man who was raised by a single mother. Poor, dirt poor. And now look at him. He sits up there over all the housing development in America. We've known people. All of us known people. I've known people that couldn't read. I can take you to a man in this town right now who can't even read and write. And he has a business. He's a grown man. He's a successful businessman. He just built him a new house for him and his wife, who is an invalid. She's in a wheelchair. She runs the business. He does the work. And when he writes your receipt, you have to write it and sign it and give it to him his copy, and he'll let you keep your copy because he can't write. But he's successful. He owns property. He owns a land. He owns automobiles. He's got some collector automobile. Don't tell me you can't be anything you want to be. Little old Christians barely can read and write. You give them opportunity to testify and they'll say, Preacher, I just want to say, I love Jesus and I love my preacher and I love my church. Little old Christian ladies whose husband who have abandoned them, they're raising their own children by the grace of God and by the help of God. Churches that used to have the victory have died because they got some hireling in there who don't know anything about the Word of God. Don't know anything about the promises of God. I'm 64 years old. If there was a war tomorrow and they'd let me go, I'd go.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, I'd go. You're an old man. You don't know what I am. I'll whoop a bunch of little brats. Since I've been saved, I used to be scared of everything. I ain't scared of nothing since I got saved. But the Lord. I'm a Christian. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to apologize for what God has done for me. I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to apologize. I'm not going to do anything against what God has done for the country I live in. I'm proud to be an American. And in the right way, I'm proud to be a Christian. God took me out of nothing, put me into everything, buddy. Or to be in hell right now. He saved me, and I'm not that great a Christian. He keeps me. It's by His might, His power. When I get to heaven, I won't have anything to brag about but Him. I'll fall at His feet. And if I've got a crown, He'll get it back because I sure don't deserve it. Now, the question I want to ask you today, what are you proud of? What kind of victory do you have? What kind of joy? What gives you joy? Do you have the peace that passes all understanding? If you don't, today would be a good day to get saved. July the 4th. That'd be an easy day to remember, wouldn't it? Because I had freedom in America and I got freedom in Christ July the 4th. But if you are saved, and I realize people have problems, I've had them. And I realize people have heartaches, I've had them. And I realize people have disappointments, I've had them. But He never let me down. Now, if you can let anybody down, I've let Him down, but He's never let me down. And I'm going to go to heaven not because of what I did, but because of what He did. But on the way, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to be the best Christian I can be.
Amen. Yeah.
I'm going to try to be the best American I can be. But more important than that, if this country ever goes against Him, I'll stick with Him and let you have your country.
Amen.
Because we're aliens and pilgrims in this world anyway.
Right.
We're not going to sing it, but that old song says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And it goes on to say this, Brother Ron, no turning back. No turning back. Where are you going to go? You going back to the bar? You going back? Go back to the vomit, the drunkenness, the broken home, the cussing, the fussing, the fighting, the disappointment, the addictions, the heartaches? There ain't nowhere for you to go back to, Brother Rick. I'll follow Him. If the whole world turns against Him, I'll follow Him. Now, who are you following today? Let's stand.